Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrill, America's favorite Southern Belle. I want to thank you for joining me so early in the year 2010. Thank you for joining me. The topic today, first given on a two. In 2010, what role will God play in your life? That's the question. You know, New Year's, everyone wants to make New Year's resolutions. Was this part of your resolution? Have you reflected on 2009 and saw where you might have had some shortcomings and you're ready to make some improvements, particularly in the area of religion and God? So that's one of the things we're going to do. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the co-host this morning, Mr. Jordan Lamar. Would you like to say good morning to the callers?
Yes, good morning, callers. Good morning, Jordan Lamar, reporting live.
Wow, you all have something to say. I really don't know what to talk about. So the first thing we want to do is do our week in retrospect. So Jordan, I'm just going to kick you with two persons that usually take control and start things around. How were your holidays?
Jordan? Yes?
How were your holidays?
Oh, my holidays were fine. Yes, mine were fine. I actually got to see a lot of family, you know. I mean, it's always nice to see family, especially through the holidays. Remembering the birth of little Jesus Christ.
I don't know about always good to see family. That's a little bit debatable depending on what day of the week it is you're talking about for my family.
Yeah, I can't argue that. You have those Uncle Charlie's, those Uncle Harry's, those that just start something regardless of what day of the week it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Everyone has one of those uncles. And it's hilarious that they keep getting invited to family events.
I know, right? You can, it wouldn't be right without them. That's what's crazy about it.
Exactly. Who wants a drama-free holiday? Like, who seriously wants a drama-free holiday? I don't know. So that is definitely, you know, one of the things to think about. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Did you have a New Year's resolution?
You know, I find that cliche to be kind of funny. Like, I don't make New Year's resolutions, I kind of just start now. I'm the now type of guy. So if I wanted something to change for the next year, I would start it exactly when I thought about it.
You don't wait for the new year? You don't wait for the January 1? You don't want to do everything, you know, up until December 31st and let January 1?
No, because if you do that means you don't want to stop. Like, seriously. If you wait for a checkpoint to start back over, you really don't want to stop. You want to keep doing it until this date or whatever. Then you're not going to do it for real.
That is funny. That is funny. You know, one thing that is bothering me, and I hope it ends soon in 2010, is anyone other than me tired of hearing about John Gosselin and Kate Gosselin and their divorce and 8, 10, 12 children they are. I'm so tired of hearing about them. Like, I am sick of hearing about them. I've been hearing about them for months. You know, Newsweek has the headline, what will happen in 2010? John and Kate reunited. I mean, who cares?
Like, seriously, like, to have that many kids, you need to be in the media. I don't care what everyone is saying. I'm just kind of curious what kind of kids are they going to turn out to be when the parents are divorced. Like, that's crazy.
Exactly. I mean, but they have enough kids. They can do his and her kids. I'm serious. They can do his and her kids. They have 8 kids. 4 go here, 4 go there.
That's not cute at all. That's not cute. Like,
I mean, it could. It still could hurt you. You had the twins, the older two, you know, they could have one of them. Then they got the steady cousin. Three boys, three girls. One take three boys, you know, she take the three girls.
Like, what would happen when, like, the stepfather come in or the stepmother? Like, you have four new kids every couple months. Like, that's crazy.
I don't know, but they have made a lot of money with the TLC show, and now with the show, I think it came to an end because of the lawsuit, I'm not sure. But they're still making money because they're in the news every day.
Like, yeah,
every day.
They are.
Another very interesting thing that I'm looking at, 27 things men don't get about women.
Here we go.
There are only 27?
Wow.
There are only 27 things that y'all don't get about us?
Well, I mean, I guess those are the common 27, I guess. I don't know, because maybe I don't know 27 things. Maybe I need to learn those 27 things.
What's one thing you don't know about women, Jordan?
I don't understand why you could say one thing and it completely means another. I've never understood that about women.
What are you talking about? We say exactly what we mean.
No, I'm saying we say exactly what we mean, but you know, apparently I don't take it that way.
Whatever. I don't like to use that whole, if you've ever read The Knife, The Giver, they talk about the precision of language. Y'all are hung up on that. I didn't say exactly
this. I didn't, though. That's the thing. I'm going left. That doesn't mean I'm going right. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm just saying, we're not going to be able to hide behind that forever. That's all of it.
If you want to use that as an excuse.
The 27 men don't know about women. I would definitely be reading that later. All right, so let's go ahead now and let's talk shop. First, giving honor to. And I picked this for the title because I remember growing up in church, anytime people got ready to do any speaking, that was the first thing they would always say. They would stand up. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life.
That's kind of funny. Like, people do that not just in church. They do that everywhere. You've been to church in the past 15 years, and the first person is out your mouth is God. The first person you think is God. That's kind of funny. War shows, not calling out celebrities, but just random people. First, giving honor to God. Is he really?
I mean, obviously, in my opinion, God is the highest honor. But I find it funny when you say those things, and it's obvious that you don't really mean it.
Yeah.
That's what gets me, is when you don't really mean it. It's like you're saying it for show because you think people expect you to give honor to God first. And, you know what I'm saying? I always just kind of find that funny, particularly on award shows with rappers and some of the lyrics they have, who they seem to believe that they are the highest, they think so much of themselves, and then they win their award, and that's one of the people they want to think is not always the first. You know, sometimes the first person wants to think is their fan. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you, what role does God play in life? I'm not talking about what the different roles are. One of the roles is a cameo. And everyone knows what the cameo appearance is in a movie. You know, particularly in horror movies, cameo is the appearance of the black guy that dies first.
That's kind of cool.
He
does. You see it in every movie. Why is that?
He's only making a cameo. He wasn't deserving of a lead role.
I don't understand. Like, why is it always the black guy, though? Like, that's crazy.
It's funny because most of the time we wouldn't even be in that position.
I know. Like, he's the black person that runs out and be like, I'm done with this. So he runs out in the dark and gets chopped up. And it's like, black people don't do that.
Exactly.
If we run, we're running away.
We're running up the stairs. We are running out the front door and down the street. So, is God going to make a cameo in your life in 2010? Will he have a supporting role, meaning, you know, you are the star and you just really need him to back you up. He's sort of like your wingman, you know.
Oh, your secondary plan.
Oh, plan B.
Yeah, plan B.
And we're not referring to it. So, I mean, when you make plans and are like, all right, this is what I'm going to do, just back me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what they call it in the five heartbeats, Shy Brothers?
Yeah, Shy Brothers. Yeah, that was the guy, the game that you play.
Yeah. All right, so with the co-star, meaning you know, y'all were side by side, y'all have equal say of what happens, what goes on. The co-star, you want to go you know, side by side with you. You know, what was the show? Miami Vice. He was preparing.
Is he Robin and you're Batman?
I don't know now, because Robin didn't always get a fair shake when it came to, you know, the reward.
Exactly.
Everybody wanted to think Batman.
Exactly. No one really remembers Robin, though. That's the thing.
Wow. That is true. Or is God starring, meaning that you allow God to take the lead and you follow?
Yes.
You know, that's one of the questions that has been on my mind for the last couple of weeks, thinking about it, especially with the new year approaching. And I don't necessarily get into the new year's resolution type thing, but I'm always ready to sort of reflect. Around about November, sometime after my birthday in October, I really started to reflect on my life for that year because the year is, you know, ending. And I will look back and I want to think about all of the things that I've done in 2009 that I would like to change in 2010. So that's like one of the things. So I don't know, but the replacement is necessary. So when I'm gathering to plan this show, I need to start thinking about New Year's and why do we, you know, what's the history of the resolution? Why do we get started with that on January 1st? So the history of New Year's resolutions, which, of course, you know, I had to do my research and look it up, it dates all the way back to 153 B.C. Who was keeping record of that?
You know, just thinking, like, who, I'm the first man to say I have a New Year's resolution. Where, and you said what year now?
153 B.C. 153 years
before 2009. Okay.
Before Christ, yeah. It's like, I don't know. But apparently they have, you know, some kind of document that dates back to that era. That was the oldest one that they could find. So I don't know. But the tradition of the New Year's resolution dates back to 153 B.C. by this mystical king of early Rome named Janus. Or Janus. And apparently this king had two faces, so it was believed that he could look back on his past while looking ahead to his future all at the same time.
I think I remember reading about that in grade school, about that god.
Mm-hmm.
That the god had this face and that face. One was a smiley face and the other one was a straight, serious face.
Uh-huh.
You don't remember that god?
No.
No, vaguely. Yeah, well. Kind of vague in my mind, too.
Yeah, and so that was a part of, and once they developed the new calendar, they placed him at the beginning of the calendar, which this was a decision by Julius Caesar, which I did not know that Caesar is the one who is given credit for developing the calendar that we follow. He decided on the calendar being 365 solar days because he said it reflected our seasons more accurately.
Interesting.
And so January 1st, with Janus at the head of the calendar looking back and looking forward, people then began to make resolutions, and they also would give gifts on New Year's Eve. Where's my gift? I didn't get a New Year's Eve gift.
Oh, obviously Christmas hadn't been established yet, so gifts on New Year's. Maybe we should start our new thing.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely before Christ, and so that was one of the things that happened. But I don't know. I just would like to know what record they have of this calendar. I would definitely love to see the doctrine on it. Very interesting to me. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the type of people that allow God to make a cameo in their life. That's where I would like to start.
Okay. Like, I feel like those people are very indecisive, or they're running. It's one of the two. Because if you make a decision to do something, and that person, like, if you say, okay, God is going to be the star or the forefront of my year, and then all of a sudden he kind of fades back and then you begin to take over again, you're no longer, I guess, committed. You're kind of falling off because you realize that it's harder than you think.
Exactly. Exactly. And that really makes me think about one of my favorite gospel songs by John P. Key, Stand. Because you have to get to this place in your life where you're just going to take a stand. And regardless of what happens around you, you're going to stand on this decision that you have made. That's what the song is entirely about, and that's one of the reasons why I love it. I mean, because once, anytime, regardless of if religion or whatever, anytime you make a decision to make a real change, a change that will definitely better your life, you're going to lose people. That's the truth.
And I think that's the biggest fear that we all have, is just losing people, the relationships that you have before and after. I mean, I remember distinctively hearing these words that nothing will change other than you. You're the only person that's going to change. Everybody else is going to see the old person that you were.
Yeah. I mean, and that's it. You know, we do fear change. I don't really know why we fear change, because everything around us is constantly changing. I grew up in an era where the computer was the size of, you know, the, I don't know, a floor model television.
The front end of a car.
I mean, and the floppy disk was the size of a...
today's laptop.
There were no color monitors. There were no color printers. You know, and look at it today. The cell phone is basically a computer. You can type documents on it. You can hook things to it and print if you need to. They even have a cell phone with a projector on it. Like, things are constantly changing.
Who needs that? Like, seriously. Go ahead.
I mean, but everything is constantly changing and growing. I mean, look at cars. You know, what car do we have now that looks like the Ford Model T?
You're right. Well, now, I don't know. What is the name of that car? That truck car? Is like a Matchbox car?
El Camino?
Yeah, something like that. Like, that's crazy. They don't even make those anymore.
No, they don't even make the El Camino anymore. It's funny everybody calls it the truck car, because sales was like, what? But if you think about it, though, the Avalanche resembles sort of the El Camino in a sense. It's just higher up.
I don't know about that. Just...
okay. But, I mean, the ultimate thing is change is fear, you know? It changes fear. And I also think about people who have God in their life making this cameo appearance. I think of them as being like teapot. You know, you put water in the teapot and you put it on the stove, but when does it whistle? When does it call out? When the water's high.
Yeah, you're right. People tend to not want anything to do until they're in trouble. They don't want anything until it situation begins to boil over, then you want to go to God. That's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I see it a lot with celebrities, I guess because they're, you know, in the media and you can see them. As soon as the wife is getting ready to leave them because of infidelity, they just want everybody to just stay out of their business and pray for them.
Why prayer now? Why prayer now? You should have been praying for yourself. I honestly feel like when one person says, pray for me, that means you are not able to pray for yourself, in a sense. I mean, of course we all need prayers from other people.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly need to be praying for yourself. You need to learn how to pray for yourself. That'll keep you stronger than any other prayer.
I mean, I can agree with that, that definitely praying for yourself is important and it'll keep you strong. But I also think that, you know, you do need the prayers of others in times when you don't even know that you need to pray for yourself.
Yeah, that's the part. That's the thing. See, that's before the water begins to boil. You don't really know what's about to happen. They might not know, but their prayers are the prayers that's keeping you grounded, I guess, keeping you from boiling over.
Mm-hmm. I can, yeah. Okay, I get where you're coming from on that end. So what do you think about, you know, people in their everyday life who feel like they have accomplished things?
I just see accomplishments in general. People look at what I have done or what I can do, things like that. They feel as if they're in control, and it's like when you stop after a certain point and look back at what you've done, you're prouder. You feel like you've done it. And you don't really realize, you don't see the process behind it. You don't see what God actually did for you. You tend to take out him and put yourself in that position, and like, because God does not deal with us directly in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
He uses people to bless us. He uses us to bless ourselves. So once you do something, you feel like it's you and it's not God.
Okay. So do you think do you think people accomplish things on our, because this is where I'm getting at, because I'm thinking about what you said and about how God uses people and things. What about people who don't believe in God but are extremely successful? That is one of the debates that sort of goes back to anytime I'm at, like, we have these little parties and you get into the debate, and of course religion is always one of the things that comes up, and there is a guy who's there, who's always at these parties, who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in going to church, but he is, I would say he's fairly successful, and he says that it's all about the mind. If you believe that this God is going to do this for you, then that's really just the strength of your mind in that belief. It's not actually God doing anything. Yeah, so, you know, that always that question comes back. Now you look at all of these celebrities who are now strong in Scientology. Tom Cruise being one of the biggest ones who's, you know, believing in Scientology and those type of things. Like, where does their success come from?
See, like, that's what people don't get. They don't understand. When God created the world, he established these principles. These principles work regardless of what happened. If you give, you shall receive. You think that only works for just Christians? That does not just work for Christians. That works for Christians, heathens, Gentiles. It works for everybody. I mean, if you do this, this is going to happen. What makes people think that if you do that, this is going to happen, that he's only talking about a set side of people set aside? Like, it's not that. I mean, Oprah gives the most money in charities that you ever can imagine. And look at her success. I mean, not just her, it's any person. I mean, you give, you shall receive. That's just how it is. But see, the difference in giving and receiving and glorifying all of the money and fame and doing all, you don't give glory to God.
Okay.
You can do everything right and not give glory to God.
Excellent point. Excellent point. You can definitely, it is an excellent point, Jordan. I never thought about it in that sense, but you're right.
I mean, honestly, I mean, just think about it. I mean, if your heart is not in the right area, how could God really and truly bless you? Like, okay, there's the difference between a regular blessing from God and there just being a blessing of your principle. I mean, you do the right thing, okay, you're going to be blessed. But it's better to be blessed by God, because God wants to give you this. And when you see that he gave it to you, that's a better blessing than just you being blessed and you don't know where it's coming from. You feel like it's you. You feel like you did this, you did that, you did this. But an individual who's blessed by God knows that he is blessed by God. It's a different type of feeling. You're happy. Happiness and wealth are two different things. Two dramatically different things.
Well said, well said, Jordan. So let's move on to the next one because I don't think there's nothing else that needs to be said. Jordan definitely covered that complete base. So this is my challenge to you, to really reflect. Is God making a cameo appearance in your life? Did he do only cameos in 2009 when you needed him to go to court with you? Were you then in the church? Were you then praying? You know, when your wife, your husband was about to leave you, were you then in the church? Were you then praying? When do you fall on your knees? Are you falling on your knees or are you being knocked to your knees? There's a difference. And if he only made a cameo in 2009, I challenge you to give him a new role in 2010 and see what you begin reaping. Because I promise you that you will find your harvest to be more bountiful if you move him from a cameo appearance to a starring role. I challenge you.
Yes.
So let's talk about God being in this supporting role. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with having God in a supporting role, because there are times when God is really waiting on us to make a move and bring him with us. I believe that. I don't believe that God is just going to hold our hand and lead us everywhere, every single day of our life. I don't think that that is why he put us here. That's why he gave us free will. I think that God wants to see how we are going to incorporate him in our life. But at the same time, he should still have a more important role. So the supporting role is when you make plans and then you tell God to back you up. Now, let's talk about the type of plans that you're making that you're asking God to back you up for, because that is one of the things that will determine whether or not he shows up and shows out. If you're after something that you know is unhealthy for you and your lifestyle, but you're still asking God to back you up on it, I'm wondering why. I don't really understand that. Because, and this is, you know, I don't know. I have interesting people in my life and things like that. And I have this ain't even a friend. It's more of an associate, someone I know, who is involved with someone who's involved with someone else. And when I talked to him about it, he said that if this woman is meant to be married to this man, then God will keep their marriage together, that he will not be the one to bust it up. But at the same time, he believes that he is supposed to be with this woman. He truly believes that. And that is one of his prayers.
I don't see. That's kind of like a contradiction in a sense. That's like you're trying to break it up, but if it's meant to be together, it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's kind of tainted. I don't like that. But that's
he says he's not. He says, you know, he doesn't have any more power than God. You know, God, you know, reigns over everything, and he really wants this. And, I don't really know what to say about it. I barely have contact with him at all, like, now, because, I don't know, I find him to be quite confused. But that had to be one of the most, I don't know, twisted supporting roles I've ever seen anyone put God in.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. You know what I find real interesting just thinking about it? Like, God created the world. He gave us free will. And he told himself that I'm not going to mess with them. I'm not going to touch their thoughts in a sense where I'm going to make someone do something. That's amazing. For you to create something and it can do whatever it wants to, but you're not going to, because he can't. He can make you do whatever he wants you to do. He can make me scratch my head, but he chooses not to. That's amazing to me. And then, yet he still influences us in a such manner that we would want to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
I find that real amazing. That's amazing to me. Just a thought. Just a thought.
Okay. Those of you who are listening to the show, if you would like to call in and give your comment, your testimony, 646-595-4522. That is the call-in number. You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Your host, Kay Sherrill, co-host, Jordan Lamar. Today, we're talking about God. What role will God play in your life in 2010? We've already discussed the cameo appearances, and now we're talking about supporting roles. Another role that I've seen people put God in that I find to be a little bit confusing, and it's along the same lines, but it's a little bit different, with repeat offenders. They're going to continue to do what it is that they want to do, but when they are standing in that courtroom, they want God to be there. They want God to touch the judge, touch the lawyer, touch the witnesses, touch the prosecutor.
You know, me being the person that I am is kind of funny to me because, like, I think people have the wrong idea about God or the wrong just visual. Like, when you think of God, I think most people have the wrong, just the wrong personality that you feel like God is love. You know what I'm saying? And, like, what trips me out about it is they feel like when you're in trouble, that's the only time you should call out for him because he loves you, he'll free you. But what most people don't know is God he knows what's best for you regardless of what happened. So if you going to jail is going to make you do the right thing, he's going to allow it.
Exactly. That's very difficult to understand, and I can completely agree with what you just said because I had a similar experience. I think, 2007? Yeah, 2007. I had a similar experience. I went through some things, and I couldn't understand why it was happening to me. You know, why did I have to learn this lesson this way? And that is one of the things that I'm trying to get out of. I see a lot of people asking why, particularly Christians, and that was one of the things that God talked to me about. But that's a different story for a different day. And so I asked God, why do I have to go through all of this? Why does it take legal proceedings? You know, why couldn't you just tap me on my shoulder and tell me to stop? You know?
Because, he knows that he's been through everything with these human people now. He's been through everything. The children of Israel didn't do it. How you part the Red Sea and you don't stop your ways, that's just me. But honestly, I'm starting to think, whenever you're in a situation, God looks at your heart and he finds out if you're true or if you're sincere. If you say, God, deliver me from this, and I will do this, he knows whether or not you're lying, or he knows whether or not you're serious. He knows where you're at on the totem pole. If you're high up and you'll be like, okay, I'm about to come to you, God, he'll be like, okay, I can deliver this. Now it's your turn to actually do, you know what I'm saying? God knows these things. Since he knows these things, that determines whether or not you will be delivered or this will happen. That determines what will happen. That's how I feel, honestly. I mean, if you're on a point where you're going to do what's right, God is not going to push you away by doing something bad to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants to pull you in. So why would he do something that's going to be like, you know what, forget God. He don't want you to say that.
So, let's get back to what you were talking about your heart and he knows your heart. Do you think that you can have the best intentions when you say it? You know, because you really do believe that you're going to change. You really want to change. You don't want to do these things anymore. That is genuine in your heart. So if you begin to, as they say, fall off the wagon, I hate this church term I hear people saying at times, backsliding, does that mean your heart wasn't
No, it doesn't. See, that's the other confused side about people in the church. I mean, we do this, and I don't understand it. That was the whole purpose why God sent Jesus. That's why Jesus would die, for that very reason right there. He realized that when we say, I'm done with this, we're not done with it.
Okay.
God looked at it. He was like, there's no other way for them to be cleansed other than this. That's the only way. That's why Jesus was sent. So the backsliding or whatever, I honestly feel like if you fall back, just keep praying. That's all you got to do. Because God is more focused on your direction more so than your current situation. He's more concerned about where you're going. He knows the future. He's more concerned about what track or what path you're on more so than what you're doing right now.
Wow. That is definitely a better way for it to look at it. And I think that maybe if more people sort of understood that, they wouldn't feel the pressure that they feel once they decide to make these life changes.
Yeah, that would take that completely takes off the pressure. I mean, you're no longer fit. Okay, put it like this. I'm not saying that you don't feel bad about it, because I honestly feel bad every time I do so. I mean, honestly, and I'm upfront about any and everything that I do. But, I mean, I feel bad about it. And that's the thing that God sees. He should be like, okay, I know you feel bad about it, so obviously you want to stop doing it. The thing is when you do things that you just don't care about it. That's the thing that God looks at and be like, you don't, I mean, you just got to confess with your mouth exactly what you've done.
Confess with your mouth. Okay. Let's talk about the co-starring role. You and God are side by side. No one is in charge. Everybody has equal power. Everyone has equal say. God is co-starring. I don't know. I'm wondering, how do you go long-term with God being side-by-side? Because I'm thinking to myself, anytime, okay, let me give you this this little scenario. This might make it a little bit clearer to understand where I'm coming from. You know, when you're traveling in a big group and there's several of you, you know, there's several cars and everybody's going to the same destination, but one person in particular knows the road better than everyone else. Everyone knows where they're going. You know, they know, okay, we're going here.
So why don't you turn on this road? Because I want to go this way. Oh, I can't stand those people. Like, I'm telling you.
I'm not talking about that. Let that go. That was Thanksgiving. No, what I'm saying is, if one person knows the road, they know exactly how to get there. If a wrong turn is made, they know how to correct it. If there's traffic, they know a detour. You know, there's construction. They know all of these things. Why wouldn't you let this person lead the caravan?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
That's what.
Especially if you don't know, and you know that you don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. Why won't you let this person lead the caravan? You know where you're going, and yes, with GPS or MapQuest or a map, any of those things, you can find your way. But it's not common knowledge to you. This is just not something that you know. This is not your area of expertise. So why do you want to lead? Why do you want this person? Well, you know, we'll take turns. Why?
That's what I'm saying. Why? Like, that's kind of pointless. And I completely agree with you on that. God just seems to just guide you, and you should know that. I mean, he's God. How could you claim him to be the giving? How could you give honor to him if you don't allow him to do what it is that he does? That's what he do. He guides.
Mm. Exactly. So why do we want to be side by side with God?
No. I mean, I don't want to be beside God. That's a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't understand that, but you see that where they feel like they have equal say about their life and things with God. And, yes, we have free will, but God doesn't need a roadmap.
God doesn't need us. That's the thing. We need him. And that's why we get confused all the time. Like, what God needs me? No, he don't.
Why does God need you? God created everything.
That's what I'm saying. God has, 350 billion people or something like that. I don't know how many people live in this world. He got just as many people that looks like you in this world that he could use to do the very same thing that you can do.
But God needs you.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
You know, and you saying that, it brings something interesting that I was talking about last night with one of the previous shows, talking about Tiger Woods and his situation and the comparison to Kobe Bryant and his situation. And I guess this is sort of one of the things, I guess, what you were just talking about. It was said that the NBA didn't need Kobe. That at the time of Kobe's trouble, there were, you know, a dozen other Kobes in the NBA. That basketball was already a mainstream sport. People were already spending money supporting it. Nothing needed to be done for that. But the comment was made that golf needs Tiger Woods because Tiger Woods brought golf into the 21st century. He is the reason why everybody now plays golf. You know, you see NBA players, NFL players, after they win a championship in the off season, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to play a little golf. You know, and now people are actually, you know, other than just the upper class people playing golf, everybody's now playing golf. You know, everybody wants to be the next Tiger Woods. You got golf more or less in school now. I remember golf was one of the classes that I could have taken when I was in college at Albany State Go Rams. It was one of the classes that I could have taken. So I guess that's in the same sense, you know, what you're saying, that we're like Kobe Bryant.
You know, I wouldn't completely agree. I mean, because if you say that golf needs Tiger Woods, I mean, okay, I guess one could say that until there's another Tiger Woods, until there's another African American who plays golf. Or
Tiger's not African American now. Take
okay,
that back.
Whatever. Haitian.
He's glazing.
Africanese.
He's glazing. He's black and Asian.
Oh, black and Asian. Okay, but like until you find another one, I guess one could say that. But honestly, the damage has been done.
I mean,
Tiger has made his. Tiger's the greatest golfer of all time. Now, whatever he does after this is just adding accolades, and it's only just boosting his stats. And it's just, he's already the greatest golfer. You know what I'm saying? He already got that on lock. But what people, I guess, want to use is to say that he's in trouble now. That comes to the end of his career. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But, I mean, everybody already liked golf because of him now. You know what I'm saying? You didn't hurt golf because Tiger Woods got in trouble. That, I don't see why people think that. That's just like Chris Brown beating up
Rihanna,
and now all of a sudden his fans don't like him. That's a lie, because his fans still like him. You know what I'm saying? You make a song, make another, hit it, run it, do whatever, and he dance a little bit, pop lock, whatever, and they right back on it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm not arguing about whether or not it needs. I was just using it as a comparison. That was more or less what I wanted to do, was sort of compare the two, because of what you said about God not needing us, and I can agree with that. He has everything. He owns everything.
Exactly.
Like Cat Williams say, everything, everything.
Like, I mean, he runs it. Like, the damage has already been done. Same thing with God. I mean, if you have already, your the religion, I guess, in a sense, what people would call a religion, has already been established. You know what I'm saying? Regardless if you are there or not, you need him more so than he needs you. So you should want to come to him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I hear you, Smokey. Need me? No, you don't. But I, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I want people to really begin to think about what they say about God and the way that they talk about God. I don't know. It bothers me sometimes because I feel like he is used in our vanity, that we're too vain when it comes to God. I feel like we are. And I want us to really, as Christians, those of us who are listening to the show who are Christians, I really want us to begin to move from this. Why would you want to be side by side with God? You know what I'm saying? He's all powerful, all of those. I mean, why? Why would you want to be side by side with him? It's just sort of the same thing of people saying they want to see God. And having that conversation the other day, I found that to be a little bit interesting. They want to be side by side with God. They want to see God. They want to hold God's hand. I don't know. He's such a powerful man. I don't think you can look at God.
No, you couldn't do it. I mean, even with Moses. Moses couldn't do it either. Like, you had to look at his back. I mean, honestly, you can't just say you want to see God. I find it interesting on the Facebook pages and the MySpace pages, who do you like to meet? And they'll put God or Jesus. And I'm like, do you know what you're just saying? I mean, you want to die. Like, you're not going to see him anytime while you're living.
Well, I mean, guilty. I had Jesus up as one of my, and I wasn't saying I want to see Jesus while I'm alive. I'm saying that when I die, I want to see Jesus. Because if I don't see Jesus, I'm seeing the wrong person.
You're right. But we weren't talking about when you're dead. Cause I mean, we're talking about who you want to meet now, like in this present life. But, you know, that's...
You can't see Jesus. Okay, people, you heard what Jordan said. Take Jesus and God off your MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter pages saying you want to see him unless you want to die. Blame Jordan for it. Send him the messages.
Yeah, send it to me. Jordan Lamar.
I don't know what address he's giving you. If you have any comments about the show, definitely hit me up at Real Talk. R-E-A-L-T-A-L-K at SherelleInc.com. If you would like to speak to either one of us personally, you have the same domain, the SherelleInc.com, but it will be Jordan Lamar or K. Sherelle at SherelleInc.com. If you're listening right now, go ahead and send out a tweet to me. I am definitely on Twitter as K. Sherelle. You can find me on Facebook, become a fan. And people... Sidebar real quick before we get into our last little topic of the day. The website has been updated and changed. Like, that is one of my biggest goals to get done by the end of the year, was to get the website definitely redesigned. So if you haven't been and checked it out, I need you to check it out, SherelleInc.com. So let's move on to our last role that God can play in your life. The question is, is God starring? At the Academy Awards for Best Leading Role in the Dramatic Life of, would God get an Oscar? Would he get an Oscar as being the lead? This means that you allow God's will to be done. You tell God to take the lead and you're going to follow. Which I think many of us as Christians want this. We want God to have this leading role. We want to say, God, you know, whatever you want for my life, you know, let your will be done. I'm going to follow you.
But, like, seriously, how serious is that? Like, I mean, just think about it.
It's a serious commitment.
Because, I mean, not just that commitment. I mean, because God is love, happiness. God is all of these things that you want your God to be.
Mm-hmm.
If he is happiness, that means he wants you to be happy, right?
Uh-huh.
So how could you completely take, how could you not live and have no wants, and all you want is God wants, what God wants?
Uh-huh.
How are you supposed to be happy? You have nothing that you're interested in. Seriously? Like, that's just a thought. I mean, but obviously you, I wouldn't say you would completely no longer have any ambition to do anything but God, but what I'm saying is, like, you now have a place. Are you at a place where you can completely say, "Okay, God, I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. I want you to take me wherever you want me to." But sometimes God take his hand off and say, "Go where you want to."
Mm-hmm.
You now come to a place where I believe that God will be like, "Okay, I trust that you will make the right decision." You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He'll set something before you, and he'd be like, "You make the decision." You've never been in a place where God has done that?
Yes, I have.
Exactly. So, I mean, I wouldn't say, so how could you completely just say, I'm going to trust God in that sense? You see what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying, but that's what I'm saying. That is one of the things to say. It's just like that old hymn, church song, people say, anyway, you bless me, Lord.
Yeah,
I say,
yeah,
but
like,
you don't really mean it in
yeah,
that sense of any, like, that word.
Oh God, I'm not going to do anything. You do everything. And you just sit here all day waiting for, you know,
you're waiting,
like,
on God.
That's not how it works. You know what I'm saying? You got to get up and go out and do something, but you got to keep his interest in mind.
You got to take him with you.
Yes, you got to take him with you. He got to be right there with you and be like, God, is this the right decision? You got to ask him. You know what I'm saying? Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And, you know, saying that any way you want to do it, I mean, because you think about it, in that sense, I remember being a child. I was a teenager, I think about 13, 14, and the minister we had at the time, he brought that up and he talked about it, and it really gave me a new perspective on it, because my thought process, of course, at the time was very immature when it came to God and religion. And he talked about the person in the Bible who was blind, and I believe God spit on him to give him sight.
Yeah.
How many people want God to spit on them? Just raise your hand.
That's like a double-edged sword. But, I mean, from a pride standpoint, no. But obviously, everybody wants God to touch them. in some
way. Well, we want to tell him how to touch us. That takes the any way out of it.
Exactly. I don't know why people do that. Like, God bless me any way you want me to. You really ask for something like that, God does it.
Yeah.
I say, God, pay my light bill, and then you got to go to work, and you got to do overtime.
Wait a minute, God. I mean, you going to grow that money tree in my backyard. Let me pick a little bit.
That ain't how it works.
You know, God, help me get my credit straight.
Yeah.
Make, you know, Equifax. Database
to
just go down.
All of a sudden, now it's zero, and now you have no credit. It's bad credit. There's
no credit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
You know, and that goes with immature thinking when it comes to God and religion, especially when you start talking about you'll just follow God anywhere. Wherever he takes you, wherever God goes, you're just going to follow God. And it's interesting because that was one of the sermons from my watch night ceremony I went to at church. And that was one of the things they talk about the disciples following Christ around and the type of commitment that it takes, and that is not always what you think is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, God, Jesus said, birds have nests, birds of the air have nests, foxes have holes. And he said, the Son of Man does not
have
any place to lay his head. So basically, the disciples, which were following him, if he don't have a place to lay his head, that means you don't.
Exactly.
And when you say that to someone, it's kind of shaky. You kind of think like, wow, this is a true commitment.
Exactly.
I mean, God asked us to be disciples.
Exactly.
You know, so that means if God, wherever God takes you, you have to go. I mean, you just follow him. You should want to go because he's God.
Yes, you should want to, but you want the road to be nice and easy. You want, you know, everything to be daisies all around you, and it's not necessarily the case. I think that in 2010, that it's not a matter of just committing yourself to one complete role, because as I said before, I believe that there are times when God is waiting on us to make a move. My thing is, I don't think God should have just one role, definitely not the cameo in your life. I don't think that you should just be committed to just allowing God to pop up when you need him at your convenience. You know, I think that there are times when you're going to need God to support you because you're going to take the lead, but you always want to take God with you, because God is like Visa. He's accepted everywhere.
You should never take your hand out of his. Like, especially if you're trying to lead, if you just not lead, if you're trying to take over the reins for a short amount of time, you should never take your hand out of his.
Exactly.
You should always keep whatever it is that you've learned about him in your pocket.
Yeah.
Right there with you.
I agree. And the co-starring role, I don't know about this side-by-side thing with God. You know, he definitely knows a little bit more than I can definitely see points in my life where God was supporting. There was a brief period of time, to be honest, where there were cameo appearances, and, you know, that was definitely dealt with. And there were times when I really did not know anything. I did not know where to turn. I did not know what was going to happen next. You know, it was just this complete state of confusion, and I really needed God to take the lead. And that's the thing about it is, once you sort of become a little bit more mature in your thinking, you know when you don't know something.
Yeah.
And you know how to speak up about that and definitely let God step in so he can show up and show out, because that is definitely what he does. So, I don't know. I just want to challenge you. Today is January 2nd. 2 days into 2010, I challenge you to really reflect on what role God played in your life in 2009. Don't even stop at 2009. Look at 2008, 2007. Was there growth from year to year? Are you growing spiritually, or are you spiritually stagnant? That is my question to you. So right now we're going to wrap up this topic, and we're going to move to crazy headline of the day. And we have more than one, so I'm going to let Jordan get started with his, because I believe his headline is very funny.
I just found it kind of fitting for what today's topic. How about this? Jesus Christ reports for jury duty in Birmingham, Alabama. That's kind of crazy.
Jesus Christ or Jesus?
Oh, we shall see. Let's see. Court officials were skeptical at first when, on Monday, a potential juror submitted a name change for with Jesus Christ on it. It's kind of crazy. But the 59-year-old Birmingham woman who previously went by Dorothy Lola Killingworth assured the presiding judge that it was her real name. How do you do that? She changed her name.
I thought it was illegal.
I thought it was too. And she changed her name from Dorothy Lola Killingworth. I'm kind of curious as to what kind of name is that. She changed it from that to Jesus Christ. I don't understand what today's society is going through or what's going on. So it raised eyebrows, so I asked her if that was her real name. Circuit City Judge Scott Vowell said, she assured me that it was. She had her name changed on it on the probate court, and she presented her driver's license.
Jesus Christ. Like, what was her thought process? Like, why would she want her name? I'm so lost. What?
And she ended up, with a criminal case because the judge said she was disruptive. So she ended up.
Jesus is on trial?
Yeah, Jesus is on trial.
Oh, my goodness. I really don't know what to say about that, okay? Jesus Christ reports for jury duty in Alabama. Oh, my goodness. My headline, and it's not, it's a crazy headline just because it happened. Two teammates pull guns on each other in an arena over a gambling debt. There was some type of bet that was made, but the players for the Washington Wizards, Javarius, maybe that's how you pronounce his name, Crittenden, and Gilbert Arenas drew guns on each other during a Christmas Eve locker room argument over a gambling debt.
Is he taking his Agent Zero too far? Like, seriously? That is his nickname, Agent Zero. That's his number. How do you pull a gun out on your teammate as if that's not going to get out?
Exactly. But why? Why are we pulling guns on each other? Oh, my goodness. I'm so sick of hearing about foolishness from athletes. Like, what are you doing?
What's up with the African-American athlete? Like, we already got the spotlight on us. Why are we still doing stupid stuff? Why? Why are we going to the club shooting ourselves? Why are we just, like, slapping people and stuff? Like, why are we doing that? Like, God, we just... And the bad name.
We just participate in foolishness a little too often for my own personal satisfaction.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, so I'm so serious in that. I was very disturbed to hear that. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But those are the crazy headlines of today. Let us know what you think about the show, realtalk@SherelleInc.com. Hit me up on Twitter, KSherelle. Jordan is whispering to me. Don't forget him. Definitely talk to Jordan. JordanLamar@SherelleInc.com. Also, book of the month that we're reading is The Coldest Winter Ever. If you have not already begun joining us in the different books that we read, you definitely want to do that. I want to tell you really quickly about some of the shows that are coming up so that you will make plans to tune in and listen. Next week's show is titled Brown versus the Board of Education.
Separate but equal. I mean, were we better separate?
Yeah, exactly. Were we better off when we were separated? That is my question. When looking at education, I'm looking at the dropout rate. I'm looking at how many adult African Americans are illiterate, and dating it back to when segregation was deemed illegal. Were we better off? That is my question. That has been quite controversial over the years, and I definitely would like to talk about it. The show on January 16th is titled Cream, and if you are a Wu-Tang fan, you know what I'm talking about, Cash Rules, everything around.
Cream getting money, dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, that's why he's not going to quit his day job. But definitely want to talk about, and we were discussing blacks and money, because I don't really believe that, we use money the way we should. So that is definitely one of the things coming up. So I definitely want you to stay tuned and listen to all of the upcoming shows. If you missed part of the segment today, you can always go to the website and check out the rest. Again, I am Kay Sherelle with Joy Lamar. This is Real Talk Radio. every Saturday morning at 11 a.m., I challenge you to continue to join us because you are the reason why we get up so bright and early on this Saturday. Right now, you know, I know Christmas season is over, but this is still my favorite song, so we're just going to take it out one last time with Donny Hathaway.
Yeah. 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 Hey. Hey.
Please don't quit today,
hey.
Y'all.
Hey.
Please,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
This Christmas, as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together.